Oh, it's a very powerful depiction of a story which many of us are familiar with the prodigal son. And I want to speak about that this morning. Just before we get into the word this morning, it's great to see you again, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And it's a special Father's Day for Gary, having his son Hayden married yesterday. So congratulations to Gary and Kayleen. And wish you. Great to see some of the family that are here, Robin and Gary as well here from freezing cold Townsville to be here. So it's great to have you here. Well, let's just bow our heads just as we pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can gather here on this day. And Lord, Father's Day, Lord, for some is a difficult day. But Lord, we know, Lord, that, Lord, really that you're the Father. You're our Heavenly Father. And Lord, as we saw so graphically portrayed, Lord, that you ache for us. Lord, that your heart is for us, how you long to be in close, intimate fellowship with your children, with us. And so, Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we open your word today, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you just speak to each and every one of us. For those, Lord, who find it hard today, Lord, let them look beyond the failing of their natural Father, Lord, into the perfection, Lord, and that beautiful love of their Heavenly Father this day. So, Lord, we just want to honour you, Lord. And, Lord, just open our hearts and our eyes, Lord, as we open your word together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, yeah, that's the parable of the prodigal son. For those who are familiar with it, you would have instantly recognized that. For those who aren't so familiar, I'm just going to read very quickly that passage of Scripture through. But the parables is three parables together. And as we look at these three parables, we're only going to look at one of the parables. There's three parables. There's the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and, of course, the son was lost. And the heart of the whole point of these parables is that God's heartache and his desperation to be united with us and to be with us, his children. I'm just going to very quickly read this passage, and we just want to talk about a few things as we reflect on this parable that Jesus gave, really just to showing the heartache, the heart of God. You saw in the clip, the heart of the Father, just longing for his son. And I want to tell every one of us this morning, God's heart, he longs for you. Every day, God's heart longs for you. Every day, God wants you to be in close, intimate relationship with him. His heart longs for each and every one of us. Now, just read this, and you'll have it on your bookmark. It'll come up on the screen. And Jesus continued. So he's already told two parables, and now he's into this third parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of my estate," which means, "Father, you're not dead yet. I wish you were. I just want my stuff. I'm out of here." So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off," and we saw that graphically portrayed, "while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant," just dismissing really what he says, "'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile," there's always a meanwhile, "meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field and he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has come back safe and sound.' And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you were always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. Amen. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Father heart of God. I want to talk about the love of God. And there's something about this is through this passage which really reveals the bottom line is the heartache of God. God's heartache. He's longing to be in intimacy with each and every one of us. And the lengths that God would go to be in that intimate relationship with each of us. We know because of sin we are walled off from God, and God did everything to make a way, desperate that we would be in that intimate relationship with him. And there's some little reflections that I want to share on as we have a look at this passage. And remember, the bottom line is the heartache of God, the God's heart to be in relationship with us. Already at communion, we celebrated the lengths that God went to be connected to us, that he gave his very only son for us to die on the cross in our place for our sin, to take the punishment that we, each and every one of us, deserve, that we might have that barrier of sin dealt with, that we can have that relationship with our Father in heaven. And such is the love of God. But as I look at this, I just want to share a few little things about the Father's love. And one of the things that strikes me right at the very beginning in this story is where right at the start where the son comes to his father and just says, "Dad, give me your stuff. I'm out of here. You're not dead. Come on. You're getting pretty old now, Dad. You're still alive. I can't wait anymore. Give me everything that belongs to me and I'm out of here. I'm going." And just imagine how heartbreaking that would have been for the father. If you're a father here today or even a mother, if your child came to you and said that, "Look, I thought you would have been dead years ago. I need some money. I want my inheritance right now. And I'm out of here and I'm gone." How heartbreaking that would be. And also the other thing that astounds me in the story, that as he watches his son just go off. And remember, this is a picture of God's heart for us. And as a father, I want to learn to be a better father. And all the dads here, you want to be a better father. But if you're a mum, you want to be a better mother. If you're a person, trust you all are, we want to learn to be better people. And we can certainly learn a lot from this passage, is the fact that the father, when he saw his son going off, he didn't run after, "No, no, no, come back, come back." He didn't run and stop him. And even more than that, is my tendency would have been, is my son was gone, and we don't know how long. It's a parable, so there's not a lot of detail in the parable. The point of the parable, but we don't know how long he was gone. But there would have been this temptation every day to get up and go there and try to go there and fix this problem. And one of the things that us guys do is we like to fix things. Some of us can fix things really well. Others are still learning, such as me. Give me a hammer, a bit of duct tape. That's about my toolkit. And some are really good at fixing stuff. But as men, we want to fix everything. We want to solve situations. Someone tells us a problem, immediately we're looking for the solution. And the tendency of a human father would be, "I'm going to go run off and try to fix this. Got to find this skin. I'm going to bring him back and come on, come back home." But the thing about the story is that the father just let him go. And the thing about that is it really shows the father's heart to us. The father really wants us to grow. God wants to give us the freedom to grow. Didn't try to fix it, just let him go. And we need that freedom to grow. And sometimes in life things go wrong to us and we think, "God, how could you let that happen to me?" As little children had that, you know, you just imagine a little child and every dad who has little children they've had the pleasure of just teaching them how to ride a bike. And they get up on the bike and first of all you start them off with training wheels and off they go. You're sort of just watching, they're not going to go off in the traffic or whatever. But then comes the day where they come and you take, actually we did one training wheel off and then see how they went with that. And then no training wheels at all. And then so you've got your child and you're sort of running with them and you're sort of watching them, and as they get confidence, then off they go, they're riding. But then as they're riding, they could just fall off their bike and fall down and they hurt their knee and they've got blood coming out of the knee. And the child would turn around and say, "Dad, how could you do that to me? How could you let me fall? How could you let me cut my knee like that? What are you thinking? What kind of a father are you that let your son get on a bike and fall off and cut his knee? What kind of a dad are you?" But when you do that to your child, is that you want to see your child grow. And you can't always be there every time they jump on their bike, and they've got to learn and grow. And really, that's God's heart for us. The things are going to happen. God's not going to stop every little thing, everything that we do. God will guard us. He'll make sure that we're not going to go out on the road. But he's going to let us fall at times. He's going to let us make mistakes. And the important thing is when you fall off the bike, is, Dad, I hurt my knee. Yeah, okay, great. Your still leg's still there. That's great. Get up on that bike. Off you go again. And God wants us to get up off our bike, get back on our bike sometime and just keep on going. He wants us to grow. That every time we, oh, God, what happened? I hurt my knee, Lord. He doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us, to grow, to be mature as Christians. And so part of the Father's heart, God's heart, is he gives us freedom to grow. And God is not hovering over us. We talk about women with, letting those apron strings, let them just loosen them, give a little bit more freedom. But even as dads, we have to let those toolkit straps just loosen as well. It's probably one of the hardest things to do, I've found, as a father, as a parent, is to learn where is the point that you let them go off and, you know, the trainer wheels are off now. Go fall off your bike a few times. Be good for you. And learning that. But God's heart to us, he protects us. He's there for us. He'll make sure we don't go out on the traffic and he will direct us. But in life, things will happen. And when they do, it's not because God has abandoned us. He just wants to see us grow. His heart is for us to grow. That's part of the love of God for us, that we would grow in our heart of the church to be everything God has made us to be. And so sometimes you will fall off your bike and sometimes you're going to skip your knee. God hasn't deserted you. He just wants you to learn. He wants you to grow and wants us to go forward in life. And so the father not running and looking after, trying to find where his son is, just waiting patiently. And that's the other thing that this little parable illustrates. And remember, it's Jesus illustrating the father heart of God. It's not a true story. It's a parable. But Jesus was using this to illustrate really what the Father's heart is like. And the other thing that really strikes me in this is his patience. How incredibly patient God is for each and every one of us. And I praise God for that, because do you need God to be patient with you? I'll tell you what, you do. You do. He's even waiting for us to put our hand up now. We need patience. God is very patient with us, and I am so grateful for that, because I'm not always patient. I'm sure if we're honest with ourselves, we're not always patient, are we? Sometimes you get behind the wheel, and you might be long suffering, but man, that's out the window now. You just want to get there, and that patience can just disappear. But God never gets frustrated. He's never in a hurry. He's always everything in order. He's on time, perfect timing every time. And God is incredibly patient. And the patience of this father in this story, we don't know how long, but every day just, and every day living the heartache. What a heartache for the father. And maybe some of you here have experienced that, where you're separated from your children. Maybe they're in another country, they just moved there, or maybe there's a relational thing or whatever it is, and maybe some will find that. But there's a patience and there's that hanging on there. There's that expectation in the story of the father's heart. And never, never giving up. And the father in this parable never gave up on his son. Never gave up, not once. And that's God's heart towards us. God's never going to give up on you. And it doesn't matter how bad you've blown. It doesn't matter how far you went, wherever this far country was for you. And that country for you might is not a place, but maybe it's a space where you separate yourself from God, where you get into things that maybe you shouldn't get into. You've been to things that you shouldn't have been to, or you've done things that you shouldn't have done. But God's heart, he never gives up on us. He never writes us off and says, well, that's it, I've done my dash. You know, as humans, we can do that. We're not perfect. We're all learning. We're all growing. But as a human father, I want to learn to be patient more and more as well. And as people, we need that. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, is to be patient. But the heart of God, he is so patient. The Scripture says he's patient with us because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants people to come into relationship with him. And so the heart of the Father, never giving up. God's never going to give up on you. You might think, oh, I'm giving up on God. God will never give up on you. You can pack all your stuff and say, God, I'm out of here. Lord, I just, that's it. I'm gone. I'm walking away. Sorry, God, I'm going. God's not going to give up on you. He's still going to be there. His heart is always going to be there. And he's going to be ready for you when you turn around. And maybe some need to turn around today. When you come to your senses, like that guy who was with the pigs, living with the pigs, and just realize, what on earth am I doing with my life? What am I doing with my life? He comes and says, what was I thinking? that I would do that. What was I thinking? He comes to his senses, and that moment he turns and goes back to his father. The father, he's there, he's running. He's running right towards him and just loving him and embracing him. And if you haven't given your heart to Jesus and you're here today, the father, he's ready. He's like on the starting block. He's just waiting. You make that first step, man, he's going to run with a passion and throw his heart and arms around you, embrace you, pour his love upon your life. The other thing that this passage tells me about my Father in heaven is his heart in terms of his generosity. And it's an amazing story, this parable. This is the son. Now, the son is rehearsing his speech. He's come to his senses. He's realized, hang on a minute, here I am in this pigsty, and realizes, wait a minute, in Dad's place where my father is, even the servants have food to spare. Food to spare. Now just think about it, because the context of this parable is there's a famine that's gone right through the whole land. They're in famine. When you're in famine, people are starving. There's not extra food. There's not a surplus. People are trying to scramble for every little bit of food that they can get. And yet, even in the midst of a famine, when there's no food, there's no extra, it says here when he's talking about this father of his, and when we know that's talking about our heavenly father, he says that, how many of my father's hired servants, in verse 17, have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. Hired servants in the middle of a famine have extra food, spare food. No one has spare food in a famine. Everybody's just trying to get everything. But these hired servants, when they get their food, they get extra food than they even need. And that shows the generous heart of God. You know, just imagine in the middle of the, you know, global financial crisis, you know, everyone's people getting unemployed, people losing jobs, people all panicky, what's happening, share markets, this and that and whatever. And then your boss comes up to you and says, here's your pay, look, I'm going to give you double pay from now on. Like, you think, what an incredible boss. Well, this is God, and alluding as if he was a boss, how generous he is. But how generous is God as our father? And it took the pigsty for this son who was living in a pigsty like a pig to realize, I have a generous, generous father. And the father heart of God is so generous to us. Never question that. Say, oh God, I'm struck. Never question the father heart of God. Never question his generosity. He gave you the most precious thing he could ever give. He gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in your place for your sin. He gave you that. How generous is that? There's nothing more generous, no blessing greater than that, that you have the gift of Jesus Christ. You give your life to Jesus. You give your heart to him. You surrender your life to him. You have the most precious gift that God could ever give. And he is a generous father. And if he knows how to look after a slave, give them to spare, how much more can he look after us? And he knows our needs. He'll meet our needs. He knows your emotional needs. He knows your physical needs. He knows everything that we need. And God is a generous God. Scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we won't want. We don't want, because we have a generous father. And I'm not saying we're all going to be millionaires. I don't believe that. I don't believe that we're all called to do that, because if some of us were millionaires, you would know what to do with it and you would squander it, and some that would become love their money and forget the God who gave it to them. And so it takes wisdom to look after money, to be a faithful steward of those things. But certainly all our needs, all that we need, God will look after that. He will meet every need. He is a generous father. Never doubt that. And the other thing is just his compassion that he has for this son. Really, I mean, the biggest insult I think you could give to a father is to go up to your living father and say, Dad, when are you going to die? I wish you were dead, Dad. And I want everything you have, and I want it now, Dad. Give it to me now. And just imagine the heart of a father when, you know, going and just demanding their rights. You know, we've got to be careful about our heart towards God. He's a loving father. Demanding of God and saying, you give it to me now. And demanding of this his heavenly father and just saying, I wish you were dead. That's basically what he's saying. How much that would grieve the father's heart. But I tell you, all of us have probably done that or far worse with our Father in heaven. Every one of us have caused incredible pain to God's heart. Sometimes deliberately we've sinned. Sometimes unintentionally we've done it. Sometimes we've let him down, we've let ourselves down. We cause God so much pain and so much grief in his heart. And so we look at this guy and be pretty horrible. What a horrible son he is. But I tell you what, we can all be pretty horrible to God. And by what we do or don't do, what we say or don't say, we can offend God, we can hurt God. But God's heart, it says here that when he saw his son, he says he was filled with compassion. Something about the love of God is so deep and so fundamental that when he saw his son, he just wanted to love his son. And when God looks at you, all that God wants to do to you, he just wants to love you. He just wants to love you with everything that he is. And he is love. God is love. He just wants to love you. God's heart is, he wants to love you. And the incredible forgiveness that he shows this son. You know, the son makes up this big speech and he's rehearsing it in his mind all the way back. Lord, you know, Father, I've sinned against you and against God. And he's going over it in his mind and he's learning it and he's there and he gets there. The father sees his son coming, overwhelming, heart bursting with love and compassion. And the son gets there, falls to his knee, starts off with his rehearsed speech. But I tell you what, as soon as he just opened his mouth, he had the father. And whenever you cry out to the Lord, you just say, Dear Lord, you know, whatever your speech is of repentance or whatever, the moment you come to him, just say, Dear Lord, you open your heart. Man, you've got him. He's just love and his grace and forgiveness is there. And he just poured his love upon this young man. And he pours his love upon us. Whatever you've done, however far you've wandered away, God's heart is there. He is a forgiving God. And sometimes, you know, we can allow guilt and shame to come. God just, he picks us up. He washes us. He's cleansed us by his blood. When you come into relationship with him, become a child of the living God because of the cross of Jesus Christ, all your sin is washed away. It's all dealt with. And when we come to our Father, he's just going to love on us. That's all God wants to do. Your own imperfect father, which some fathers are affectionate, some aren't. Some fathers that, you know, the idea of them giving you a hug, there's no way they're going to do that. Because maybe they're never hugged in their life and whatever. But the Father's heart for us, the Heavenly Father, he just wants to embrace us and pour his love and so forgiving. And maybe you're a father that's here and maybe you've had maybe a man that's here or a young person that's here. Maybe you've been offended or hurt or maybe a woman here, a child, or whoever is here today. If you're carrying offense in your heart, the Father models us for us that heart of forgiveness, that we've got to let it go. You know, rightfully, he could have said, okay, well, you treated me like dirt. I'm going to be very generous and I'll let you work as you asked. You asked to be a hired servant. Well, I'm a very gracious man. I'm going to let you become a servant. No, he was a son and he stayed a son. Didn't matter what he did, he was a son. And the father just loved him and had such a heart for him. And so that heart of compassion is so important. And for all of us men, you know, it's not weakness to show love. It's not weakness to show compassion. It's actually the greatest strength of all is to be able to show and express love. And so that's that, and that's certainly God's heart to us. The other thing this tells me, a little picture, a snapshot of God, is that whole sense of fun, just having fun. Because the very first response was to love and to receive this child, but then was to have this awesome celebration. And it just wasn't any little celebration. This was a fatted calf celebration. They had to keep the fatted calf in case royalty came or someone of great importance came. They had a fatted calf ready. And straight away, we're in party mode now. We are just having so much fun. They were just enjoying themselves so much. They're celebrating. And so much so that the son who's out in the field can hear this party going on. They're celebrating. They're rejoicing. Great joy. And I tell you what, your Father in heaven knows how to have fun. Some people's picture of God is that God is up there, this angry old man, just waiting for you to step out of line. And the moment you do, you are gone. No, God is not like that. He knows how to have fun. And if you don't believe that, you can just have a look at creation. Go to the zoo. Have a look at a giraffe. It's the most ridiculous thing that you've ever seen as a giraffe. Can imagine them making the zebra and whatever, and you know, saying, I've got an idea. What if we just stretch the neck and have a look and see what that looks like? Or have a look at a platypus, you know. I reckon every time an evolutionist looks at a platypus, they're trying to, God's just killing himself laughing because they can't, it doesn't make sense. In terms of evolutionary progression, a platypus just makes 0%. It doesn't make any sense that there's even such an animal as a platypus. Well, I reckon the Lord just kills himself laughing. Well, he can't actually do that. You know what I mean? I can't even say laughs his head off, but God laughs a lot. I'm sure God has joy. And the greatest joy the Lord has is when someone comes into relationship with him. Scriptures tells us, it says that there's an angels throw a party in heaven, just a parable earlier than the parable that we're talking about. There's a party in heaven. God just celebrates. And if somebody comes and says, I want to give my life to Jesus, man, God's heart is to embrace and to love it. Man, it's celebration time. Because there's nothing better, nothing greater. Nothing greater for the Father to have you come into a relationship with him, but the sense of joy and fun. God is a fun-loving God. He has joy in his heart, and greatest joy is seeing people come to know him and to come into a relationship with him. And the other thing about this is in the story, now it talks about this son, but it talks about this other son. It talks about the older brother, the big brother. And his brother's worked his guts out. He's worked pretty hard, it says. He's worked very, very hard. And the only trouble with this son is that he never really was a son. I think, what do you mean by that? He's been there. He's been faithful. He's been working. But we can tell he never really was a son to his father because he says here, he says, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Now, he was actually, the other son was saying, make me your hired servant. But the older brother, he was actually living like a hired servant. I've been slaving for you and not obeying you. See, he didn't understand his position as a son. As a son, he had an inheritance. In fact, all that inheritance was going to be, he actually had a place of honor. He had a place of intimacy with his father. Yet this son's attitude is, I've been slaving all these years away, slaving and obeying. And as Christians, we've got to be careful we don't develop such a mindset that we're going to slave and obey. We're sons and daughters of the living God. And he wants us to be in intimate relationship with him, intimate fellowship with him, not just slaving and obeying. That's what a servant does. We're more than servants. We're actually his children. And Jesus said, I'm no longer calling you servants. I'm calling you friends. And there's a deeper level of relationship that he's called us into. And that seemed to be lost on this older brother. He was there as a slave. Don't fall into the trap of becoming a slave. You're a son or a daughter of the living God, and no greater position that you may have than that. The thing about this is with another role of, I see, the father, and certainly as for our human fathers and for us to learn, but also showing the heart of God, is that God is a reconciler. Because what we have is we have this son comes home. Now, as a big brother who loves his dad, it must have cut him up against this brother because how dare he treat my father like that? How dare he act like that towards my father? And maybe he was carrying a little bit of that resentment. And so when this son comes home, they're making a big fuss, saying, how can they be making a big fuss when he caused all this pain and anguish? We've got to be very careful of that too, though, that we don't grab and hold offences if someone's offended someone else, or, gee, how can they do that to God and somehow judge them or whatever? We've got to let that go. We can't do that. It's not our place. But the way that the Father, see, the Father is a reconciler. He wants people to be joined with him. He wants people to be close to him. And certainly he goes in and he sorts out this relationship problem between the brothers. And well, certainly he deals with the attitude, at least, of the older brother. And it's actually a good little model to help us to deal with conflict ourselves. So we've got this older brother. He's been there and he's resentful, thinking, man, he did that to my father and what he put us through, and thinking all this anger and very... And so his father goes out, and so he separates himself. It's amazing how people will do that. Whenever there's conflict, they will separate themselves. Never do that. If you want to, the heart of God is restoration, reconciliation, not separation. But he separates himself, and so the father comes to him. And his little speech is, he says, that son of yours, which is an interesting statement, isn't it, saying, you're not my brother, he's that son of yours. But the way the Father comes and deals with this, and it's a great little model for helping us to learn in conflicting things. What the Father, well, let's just quickly read what was said there. It says, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fatted calf for him. And so he's angry, man, and he's just really laying it on to the father. And the father's had this incredible joy. His heart was broken. He's got his son back. He's excited. And this other son now is just into him. But the way he deals with that, and then verse 31, he says, my son. And that's really important. If you're ever dealing with a conflict situation in a relationship, always affirm your relationship with the person that you're dealing that with. There's a tendency, and even as fathers, we can go straight in for the problem. We can go straight in there and say, you need to do what? You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that, whatever. No, the first thing that he does, he says, my son. He affirms his relationship. And if you're ever dealing with any conflict situation, if you've got to deal with anything, always affirm your relationship with the person, because at the end of the day, your relationship is always far more important than the issue. Now, this particular issue was about a relationship, so it was a very important relationship. But if you're ever dealing with something, always affirm your relationship with the person. My beautiful wife, my son, my friend, my neighbour, my this, my whoever they are, affirm your relationship with them, that they're valuable to you, that they're important to you. And he refers that you're my son. You know, you're not this slave who's been slaving away. No, no, you're my son. And it's a good guidance for us to deal with that. He says, my son, you've always been with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate because this brother of yours was dead. And notice he says that this brother of yours is dead. Because this son said, that son of yours. But the father says, no, that brother of yours, he's your brother. And he restores that relationship. He points that, and it's so important. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. Always remember that. Always remember you're not a slave and they're not coming to the party, they're not doing something, or they're there and they're not coming to the party, not no, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. But the way that the Father shows us how to deal with it, but that's God's heart. He doesn't want, God's heart aches when he sees people separated from one another. God's heart aches for that. But how much more does it ache when he sees people separated from him? And as I said, that's the point of the parable. We don't want to be separated. And we don't say, oh Lord, and we're upset with God because he fell off our bike and we hurt our knee. Or we're upset with God because this person seems to be getting blessed. What about me? I've been faithful. I've been working hard. I've been serving. That person's getting all the recognition. I don't get any recognition. It's not fair. No, no. God's heart is, let's get our attitude right, our heart right. But the Father is a reconciler. He doesn't want anyone separated from each other, but certainly not separated from him. And he showed that and proved that through Jesus Christ. So he is the ultimate reconciler. And the final thing that this really shows me as we have a look at this passage is the Father's words to his son. My son, the Father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. And that's the Lord's heart to us. My child, you're always with me. We're always with the Lord. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He promises us that. And so he's always there. And for fathers, never underestimate the importance of us being present in the life of our kids. It matters so much. There's countless studies have shown that where the father is absent, there's more likely toward people to end up in prison and crime and drugs and teenage prostitution or pregnancies or a whole lot of things, poor outcomes at school and a whole lot of things when the father is not present. And so as fathers, make sure you're there for your kids. One thing to give them gifts and give them guilt gifts or whatever else, be there for your kids. Be there for your kids and just love them. Be present. Because that's the father is for that for us. Our father is always with us. He never leaves us for a moment. He's always there. We can turn our back on God and he's always just waiting for the moment. The moment we turn, well, he's running and he's going to pour his love upon us. But he is always with us. So we need to walk closely with the Lord. He never leaves us or forsake us. Remember that God is always present. He said, I am always with you and everything I have is yours. And never underestimate the inheritance that you have in Jesus Christ. You know, we can be like this little, poor little big brother. We have everything in Christ. We have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise of an abundant life now that he will fill our hearts and fill our lives. And so always remember that we have a good father. He's a father that gives us freedom to grow, yeah? And he'll let us make some mistakes. He'll let you fall off your bike and hurt your knee because he's a good dad. He wants you to grow. He wants you to grow and learn and to learn what it is to trust and rely on him and to believe his word and to take him at what he said. He's a patient father. He's just waiting, and he might be waiting for you, for this day, for this moment, for you to come and give your heart to him. He's a generous father. He gives more to the servants. How much more is he going to bless us? And he's a compassionate father who just wants to throw his arms around us and love us. Doesn't interested in all the words and things. He just wants to love us and just to be with us. And he's a fun God. Don't forget that. God is a fun God. He enjoys laughing. So we're allowed to laugh. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Somebody thought that was funny. No, he does. He loves to laugh. He's fun. And he's a reconciler. And the number one is for us to be reconciled to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. He can't bear to be separated from you. He can't bear even the days where we neglect him. He can't bear that. The days that you, oh, look, I was busy, I was this, I was that. No, God's there every moment of every day just waiting. Just come and talk to me. Just engage with me. Just share with me. The Lord loves us. He wants to be with us. And he's always present with us. Amen. Doesn't matter what our state of mind is, God is there. Doesn't matter whether we're thinking of him or not, God is there. He's always with us. We have a good father. Amen. We have a good father. And I'm certainly challenged as I read through these things, because I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better man. But I sure for all those that are here, you want to be a better person. And we can, these are good little things that are illustrated to us in this parable that Jesus told. Let's just stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just pray, Father, first of all, Lord, if there's anybody here, Lord, when they honestly look at their life, Lord, they're like that prodigal, Lord. They've gone away from you. And, Lord, they messed things up, Lord. They tried to live a life without you. And, Lord, ended up broken, Lord, full of shame, Lord, and just disconnected from you. Father, I pray, Lord, first of all, if there's anyone like that, Lord, even as that in that video we saw, Lord, and even in this parable, Lord, that young man had the courage to turn around and to come and take a steps towards his father. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Lord, that they will be empowered and encouraged to do that, Lord, that they'll take those steps to you this day, Lord, that they will know what it is to be a child of the living God, wiping away our guilt and shame. And Lord, that you put on, you clothe us with righteousness, Lord. You give us a new hope and a new beginning, Father. I pray if there's anyone like that today, Lord, give them the courage at the end, Lord, to come and have prayer. And Father, for those that are fathers here, Lord, help us to be better fathers, Lord, because our hearts want to echo the Father's heart, Lord. We want to allow your love and your grace to flow through us. So we know of our weaknesses, Lord. We know of our failures. But Lord, we want to be better dads, Lord, and we want to be better men. And Lord, for the ladies and the ones who aren't fathers and all those others that are here, Lord, we want to be better people, Lord. We want to continue to grow in you. And but Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are so committed to us, so committed to us, Lord. You're not like a human father that fails. But Lord, you're the perfect Father who never fails, who never gives up on us, and Lord is always ready to receive us. So Father, I just pray, Lord, for your blessing on every person here this day, Lord, that they will know the love of their Father, who loves them with such a passion, with such a tenacity, Lord, that you gave everything for each and every one of us. And so Father, we just thank you now in Jesus' name.